Hello, my name is Chris, and I'm the author of a few books, mostly about productivity, including the new book. It's called Intentional, How to Finish What You Start. Don't even worry about anything else I've written. This new book is my best one. I'm biased, so don't listen to me. But yeah, it's the one to check out, I think. So welcome to this book bite. And in this book bite, I'm going to share with you five of my favorite ideas and tactics from Intentional. So you won't just get an overview of some of the ideas that you'll find in the book, but you'll also get some practical, tactical takeaways in case you don't buy the book. And so regardless of what you do, you are set. So let's get into it. The very first tactic I have is know your 12 values. So I have to be honest before I share this tactic with you though. Whenever I've heard the term values in the past, I've always kind of tuned out, especially with personal values. What has always come to mind for me has been one of those cheesy corporate exercises where some management consultant comes into the company and lays down a list in front of you with 100 values on it. And they say, pick the 10 or whatever that mean the most to you. I got news for you though. Most of those are not rooted in science. They're not rooted in the psychology of values. And that's kind of the beauty with values that I found in researching this book is there's real science here. Science on values that has not only been proven in research, but validated cross-culturally in more than 80 countries across thousands of studies with hundreds of thousands of participants. The latest research shows that there are these 12 fundamental human values that we all share in varying amounts. And so to lay the land for you, there's essentially two fundamental motivations we all have, two axes upon which our motivations fit within. So in any moment, we're either focused on enriching ourselves or enriching others. So that's the first axis. And the second one is we're either motivated to conserve things as they are, so basic conservatism, or we want to change or improve the way that things are. And all 12 of these values fit within these basic fundamental motivations. Values are, in this way, motivations in and of themselves. So I'm going to rhyme off the 12 for you. And by the way, there are tests to determine what your top values are. I've partnered with a company to create one, not here to promote that though. But one or two or three will probably stick out more to you as you listen to this list of our values. And so what I want you to do, and I'll go through them like at a medium pace. I won't go super slow because that wouldn't make for a good podcast content. But what I want you to do is reflect on which of them connect most with you. Some might even repel you, and that can be informative as well. So here are the top values. Self-direction, which is choosing and cultivating your own thoughts, ideas, and actions. Stimulation, loving novelty. Pleasure, which is sense pleasure usually. Achievement, power, which can include either resource, having control of resources or people. Face, which is preserving your own image and avoiding humiliation. Security, whether that be personal or societal security. Tradition, which is appreciating, preserving, maintaining the cultural family traditions that we have. Conformity, which is fitting with the rules, obligations, and expectations of other people. Humility, which is recognizing our insignificance in the scheme of things. Universalism, which is understanding, appreciating, and protecting the welfare of people and nature. And benevolence, which is being a devoted and reliable member of the groups we occupy. We are a combination. We're all a different combination of these values. This book bite is the longest little mini book bite, but reflecting on this can let you connect with your motivational core. Number two is a mini bite because that was a heavy bite. That was like downing a three-bite brownie in one go or something. I don't know what the equivalent would be. But number two is to shrink your resistance level to getting something done. So, you know, intention is great, right? And the science of intention is quite beautiful. It's quite powerful. But it shows as well that there are reasons that we procrastinate on the things that we intend to do. So just as there are 12 values, I feel this book bite is like a combination of listicles of sorts. But there's essentially six main things that lead us to put off the things that we're procrastinating on. So some of them are boring. Some of them are frustrating. Some of them are unpleasant. You know, they're usually some combination of these. Some are far off in the future. Others are unstructured. And others are meaningless. And so, in other words, they're not connected with our 12 values. And when something's unstructured, and it's also, you know, a bit frustrating, unpleasant, there are a lot of different tactics that we can deploy. But one of my favorite of these is shrinking our resistance level. So this comes up with meditation a lot. Let's just stick with meditation, but it can work for writing. It can work for working out. It can work for cleaning up some ugly closet in your basement that you've been putting off for months. What you do is you essentially feel out your resistance level to doing that thing. So, you know, you might think, hey, do I want to meditate for 40 minutes today? No. No way. No way do I want to meditate for 40 minutes. Okay, what about 30? No. Okay, what about 25? No. 20? 15? I could actually probably do 15. And so what you do by doing this is you accommodate the resistance level you have to doing something. And so there will still be a little bit of resistance in it, but you actually gain control. You reconnect with that value of self-direction, which is a very common value overall. And you just get a grip over the intentions that you set and you begin to shape them a little bit. Number three is to build what is called your self-reflective capacity. Now, one thing that was a blast to do over the course of this writing journey was not only chatting with a lot of researchers about the science of intentionality, but also talking with a lot of Buddhist monks. Because Buddhist monks, they observe intentionality, but from the direction of the causes and effects that happen within our own mind. And, you know, they look at things like procrastination, all this stuff. And one time after a Buddhist Dharma talk, I asked one of the monks, you know, where does intention come from? Intention being this idea that they study to this profound level. And he listed off a lot of sources that were mapped on top of the research. Like it comes from our biology, right? We make an intention to go to the bathroom on a road trip or something. It comes from the social environments that we're a part of, right? We adopt the intentions of others through phenomenons like social contagion. It comes from conditioning by family and culture. And intentions come from our desire to avoid pain and find happiness. And also the lessons we have learned, which shapes how we think about and view the world, which shapes the intention that we set. But the final source that he mentioned was not in the research, and it was our self-reflective capacity. And so this was an idea that I went deep, deep, deep on. And essentially, our self-reflective capacity is our ability to look within ourselves, to reflect on what we would want to do differently and where we truly wish to go. Right? It's where our deepest intentions come from, because we can ask a question of our inner world. I have a challenge for you, actually, which is to pause this recording and then come up with an intention to do next. Whatever you're going to do after listening to me chatting right now. What do you want to do? What do you want to listen to? What do you want to engage with? Who do you want to talk to? An intention will arise when you ask a question of your inner world. What do I want to do next? What do I truly want to get out of doing this current thing? So, you know, it can come from a question like that, but it can come from journaling too. These intentions can come from going on long walks and just letting our mind wander. It can come from meditation, which actually leads us to become more intentional and connect with this self-reflective capacity. So it's an idea with a lot of depth, and it turns out there actually is a lot of research behind this self-reflective capacity. But this frame for looking inward, that is sometimes where our deepest intentions come from. And when you find these intentions, when they arise in your mind, you can go back to the 12 values in the first little book bite and think, oh, this actually does align with what I want to do most and what I value most in my life. It's wild how that naturally happens. Book bite number 4 is to get to know the intention stack. So I feel I'm cramming a lot into these book bites, but I do want to share this stuff with you. So intentionality is fascinating. And it turns out there is a shape to the intentions that we have in our life. So every intention we set, they all differ, right? Some differ in where they come from, which we were just talking about. They come from things we've learned. They come from self-reflection. They come from conditioning by family and culture. They differ in how long they are, right? We have an intention to, you know, get a promotion in our career. And then we have an intention this morning to go for a run. Different durations. They differ in how strong they are. So the strength of an intention is how much we desire doing it. There's science behind desire as well, minus that aversion we were talking about, which leads to procrastination. They vary in how deep they are, which is how connected they are with our values, but they can also be nested within one another. And this is where the science of intention really heats up. This is really where it gets interesting because we all have these things that we're intending to do, these grand goals that we want to achieve, but we don't always make them happen, right? And so the question becomes, why don't we make those happen? And it's because goals are an intention in and of themselves. An intention is just a plan that we're going to do something, which a goal is, right? It's an intention that takes place over that medium amount of time. And there are smaller and larger intentions than goals in our life. So smaller intentions might include the plans that we have to following through on a goal. And even smaller still, the intentions that we have in this moment, right? To finish this podcast or whatever. And so you can work your way up in terms of how long the intentions in our life take place over. So we have the present intentions, the things that we're doing today. We have the broader plans that we have. Then you work your way up to goals, which are the broader stories of change that we're making in our life. And then broader than that, we have our priorities in life, the things that we're prioritizing, like our health, like our fitness, like our relationships. And then above our priorities, our ultimate intentions, the research shows, is our values, right? They're what we're ultimately after in life. And so let's say you have a goal in this moment, like maybe the next thing, the next intention that you're going to do after listening to this podcast is you're going to dial into a conference call. Right, but there's a lot of intentions that take place over a longer amount of time than this. Like maybe dialing into a conference call, it fits with your plan of developing relationships with 3 new partners in your business, which might fit into your goal in your business to find an expansion partner, which might fit into your priority to expand into a new market, which might fit into your ultimate value, which is accomplishment through work and benevolence through helping others and helping others grow too. So 15 minutes is not nearly enough time to talk about the intention stack. That takes a whole book. But by accommodating the various layers of intentionality in our life, we can actually follow through with the things that we start. Okay, 1 minute for the last book bite, rapid fire. It's to anticipate obstacles. So desire and aversion fluctuate over the timeline of goal attainment across the various goals that we have. But the research shows that from the outset of your next goal, one of the best things that you can do in your head is something called mental contrasting. So essentially, you ask yourself, what obstacles are going to get in the way of me achieving this goal? If you want to work out more, do you have travel coming up? If you want to write a book, are you going to find it difficult to find the time? So maybe you need to wake up early instead. What obstacles will get in the way of you being essentially intentional about the goals that you set? So I hope you enjoy the book. It's called Intentional, How to Finish What You Start, as well as I hope you enjoyed these ideas. Have a great day.